life on earth, the Lord Jesus Christ was an example, showing us how to live. In his death, he was a sacrifice, sacrificing, satisfying divine justice, so that we could be saved from our sins. In his resurrection, he was a conqueror, destroying death. I reminded of a book written by John Owen, The Death of Death, in the Death of Jesus Christ, where he extensively deals with that subject, how the Lord Jesus Christ has destroyed death. And by conquering death, we can be assured of our resurrection unto newness of life. In his ascension, the Lord Jesus Christ showed us that he is a king. For indeed, he is King of kings and Lord of lords. In his intercession, he is a high priest, sitting at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for us. This Sunday is an important day in the life of the church. I realize that we do not celebrate it much in Australia, for that matter, it's not really celebrated in Singapore or Malaysia either. It's not celebrated in the United States. But in the continent of Europe, we always celebrate 40 days after Easter, the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. This past Thursday was Ascension Day. And so today, the closest Sunday to that would be considered Ascension Sunday. And I've made it a practice over the years to try to preach on the Ascension Sunday. Now, if this is Ascension Sunday, then next Sunday is another special day, because it'll be Pentecost Sunday, the coming of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. And we'll be talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit, Lord willing, next week. Now, we're still following our readings in the daily manna. We've already started from John's Gospel, but we're kind of backtracking today to the last chapter in Luke's Gospel. And next week we'll be back in John's Gospel, but we'll be a little bit ahead of our regular readings. But in particular, I want to talk about the last three verses, last four verses here in Luke's Gospel. And he led them out as far as the Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. And as we look at these four verses here, I want you to see, first of all, the remarkable way in which our Lord left his disciples. The remarkable way in which our Lord went away and left his disciples. He led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. In other words, what we read is that the Lord Jesus left his disciples in the very act of blessing. As he blessed them, he ascended up into heaven. You know, and this is then intended to remind us of all that Jesus had brought with him when he came into the world. And it was also intended to assure the disciples of all that he would yet do after he left the world. And we'll talk more about that as we go on. But think about it. The Lord Jesus Christ came to earth to bless and not to curse. He came to be a blessing, and he blessed his followers. And blessing He departed. He came in love. He did not come in anger. And as he came in love, he went away. He came not as a condemning judge, but as a compassionate friend. And as a friend, he returned to his Father. And so he left them in the very act of blessing. See, he had been a Savior, full of blessing to his little flock. Jesus didn't pastor a church of 5,000 or 10,000 people. He just had a small little flock of 12 disciples, and one of them betrayed him. "Fear not, little flock," says Jesus. "It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." There was just that small little flock, and while he had with them, he wanted them to know that he would be a Savior full of blessing to them, even after he was taken away from them. Because see, there was that thought on the part of the disciples: if Jesus goes away, we're left all alone. And so he blessed them, a Savior full of blessings. You know, we can learn from that again. Let us lean on the gracious heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we shall never find a heart that is more tender than his. We shall never find a heart that is more loving than the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. We shall never find one more patient than the Lord Jesus Christ. More compassionate, more kind. That is our Savior. You know, it's sad when you think about it. There are people today who suggest that the Virgin Mary, you know, she was more compassionate than the Lord Jesus Christ. Rubbish. Well, that may not be a very nice word, rubbish, to say from the pulpit, but it's really rubbish to say that. To say that Mary was more compassionate than the Lord Jesus Christ is proof of miserable ignorance of the Word of God. Because when you study the Word of God, we see how gracious the Lord Jesus Christ is. How tender, how kind, how loving, how patient, how compassionate. More than anyone could ever be. You know, 50 years ago, I noticed when I first went to the United States, that quite a few cars on the dashboard had a little statue. And I wondered, why do so many of these drivers have little statues on the car? And then I noticed other cars, instead of having a statue, they had some kind of a medallion hanging from their rear view mirror. And as I got talking to people, I found out that this was for Saint Christopher. Saint Christopher, the patron saint of the travelers. And so the people in the Catholic Church would have either a statue pretending to be Saint Christopher or having a Saint Christopher's medal hanging from the rear view mirror in the car, thinking that they should go to the saints for comfort, for protection, rather than going to the Lord Jesus Christ. How sad when you think of that. It's really an actual blasphemy. It's a robbery of Christ's crown to think that Saint Christopher can help you when Christ is all that we need. We need Christ. Incidentally, I should mention that even the Catholic Church has had a change of heart. At the end of the last century, at the end of the 20th century, they decanonized Saint Christopher. So he's no longer a saint. So I'm not sure now who they get to protect him when they drive. But the Catholic Church at the late 20th century, they looked at the long list of saints that they had. Well, that one really doesn't belong there, and that one doesn't really belong there. And so they removed a lot of saints. Very interesting. You can make saints and you can, well, remove them. Of course, that's again not according to the teaching of the Word of God. So, to turn to Mary, to turn to saints, no. We need Christ. We need to lean on Him. He blessed his disciples even as he ascended up into heaven. Our Lord was gracious when he lived on earth among his weak disciples. He was gracious in his agony on the cross. He didn't curse those who crucified him. He was gracious when he rose again from the dead and he gathered his disciples around him. He didn't rebuke them and complain, "Why did you run away when I was arrested?" No, none of these things. He was a gracious God. Gracious when he gathered his disciples around him. Gracious in his departure from the world. Gracious as it was a departure in the very act of blessing. Gracious, we may be assured, he is today at the right hand of God. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. A Savior ever ready to bless. And so we see first of all that in these verses here at the end of Luke's Gospel, the remarkable way in which our Lord blessed his disciples. As he blessed them, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And that brings us immediately then to the second point, and that is the place to which he went when he left his disciples. Because you read, he was carried up into heaven. He is gone into the presence of God the Father. That's where he went. He came from heaven, now he has returned to heaven. The God-man ascended up into heaven. He was carried up into heaven. Now, as we think of him being carried up into heaven, I want you to see that he, first of all there, is gone into heaven to prepare a place for all believers. That's why he went up there, to prepare a place for all believers. In John 14, Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." So twice he says that he is going to heaven to prepare a place for us. So as the Lord Jesus Christ went into heaven after he left his disciples, he went there to prepare a place for us. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Are you prepared for heaven? Should the Lord come today, would you be ready to go to be with him in heaven? Heaven is a prepared place. You know, we prepare meals. We prepare this. You prepare for examinations. You prepare for a business meeting. But are you prepared for heaven? The Lord Jesus went to heaven to prepare a place for you and me. But not only has he gone to heaven to prepare a place for us, he has also gone into heaven as our great high priest to intercede for all who believe on him. Now the book of Hebrews talks about this. Hebrews 9:24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. He has gone into heaven itself and will appear in the presence of God, in God's presence, for us. That is, on our behalf. And then in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 24, but this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, because he continueth ever, neither beginning nor ending, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, he has an unchangeable priesthood. An unchangeable priesthood. He is our priest talking to God on our behalf. So not only did he go into heaven to prepare a place for us, but also to be our high priest. We see that too in the book of Romans, Romans 8:34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So the Lord Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father, making intercession, that is, praying for you, for me. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he went into heaven. And I'll give you one more verse to consider this. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. That word advocate has also been translated as intercessor. It is the Greek word parakletos, which doesn't mean a great deal to you. Para means alongside. Kletos comes from the verb kaleo, meaning to call. So parakletos is one who is called alongside. And the idea there is that there is one who is alongside me to help me, to strengthen me, to encourage me. You remember the story of the footprints in the sand? I've recently shared that with you in case you've forgotten. Remember the two sets of footprints in the sand? And when this man walked along and he looked back at the most difficult times in his life, he saw only one set of footprints. Why, Lord, did you leave me? No, it was then that I carried you. See, that's the paraclete, the one who walks alongside us. And then when the going gets tough, he even carries us. That's our Lord. So here we see the place that our Savior went after he left his disciples. He was carried up into heaven. He went there to prepare a place for us. He went there to intercede for us. But you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ will not always remain in heaven. I'm not sure if that's a statement that makes you a little bit concerned, whether I've gone crazy or something like that, but I'll explain what I mean when I say the Lord Jesus Christ will not always remain in heaven. For simply this, one day he shall leave heaven to return to earth. That's why we can say that, because he has promised that he would come again. You know, Luke's gospel was obviously written by Luke. The book of Acts was also written by Luke. And as we read here, Luke's account in the book of Acts regarding the ascension, when Jesus had spoken these things while they beheld, while they were looking, he was taken up. A cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. In the same way that he went up, he shall come back. That's his promise. So when we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, we see where he went when he left his disciples. He went up into heaven. He is there to prepare a place for us. He is there to intercede for our behalf, on our behalf. But we also have the assurance that one day he will leave heaven to come down to this earth. For that day, let us wait. We have no choice. We have to wait for that. But let us not just wait. Let us long for it. Desire that day to come. Let us pray for that day to come. See, Christ dying on the cross for sinners. Christ risen, coming out of the tomb. Christ living in heaven to intercede for us. And Christ coming again in glory. These are four glorious truths that prominently before the eyes of every Christian. These are forethoughts that we should remember. Remember warmly. Remember faithfully. What are they? Christ dying on the cross for sinners. Christ risen coming out of the tomb. Christ living in heaven to prepare a place for us to intercede for us. And Christ coming again in glory. Let's remember these four things as we think of the way in which he left his disciples while he blessed them, the place he went to heaven to prepare a place for us, to pray for us, to have the assurance that he is coming again. But let's look, thirdly, at the disciples. The feelings of the disciples when our Lord left them. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Think of that. They returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. How do we account for these joyous feelings on their part? See, we might expect, actually, that the disciples would be sad. Jesus is gone. He'd be with them for these 3 years of his earthly ministry. They've shared many experiences together. They have seen the miracles that he performed. They have listened to the parables that he taught. That listened to the many lessons that he had given them. And now, they have seen more recently his death, his resurrection. And now he's gone. You would expect them to be sad, but instead, they rejoiced. They were happy. They returned to Jerusalem with great joy. We're continually in the temple praising and blessing God. The disciples rejoiced because now they saw all things clearly about their master. By the way, it's an interesting thought here. Notice that the last verse in Luke mentions the temple. And when you begin Luke's gospel, it is with Zacharias in the temple. So you begin in the temple and you end in the temple. But you know, they rejoiced. They knew that he was the Messiah. They knew he was the one that was promised in the Old Testament. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And so they rejoiced because they knew he was the promised Messiah. Way back in Genesis 3, God said to the serpent, to Satan, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. God had already promised the Messiah would come. And throughout the Old Testament we read about the coming Messiah. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. The place of birth of Jesus was prophesied. His death was prophesied. Isaiah 53. Other passages, Psalm 22. And so they knew, though, that he was the Messiah. And so they knew that while he was gone, they knew he was still with them. For he had told them that he would never leave them. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. They knew also the words of Jesus spoken in John chapter 3. Well, we talked about these words last week, isn't it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The same chapter, verse 36, he that believeth on the Son have everlasting life. They knew everlasting life through the Savior. Do you have that everlasting life? Are you sure? trusted Christ as your Savior. The disciples could rejoice because they knew through Jesus Christ they had everlasting life. Also, they knew the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 20 and verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." As Jesus has ascended into heaven, he left them on earth. They knew he was the Messiah. They knew that whosoever believeth in him shall have everlasting life. But they also knew that the Lord Jesus Christ has left them with a commission. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Erasmus, the famous Renaissance scholar. Not sure how many of you are familiar with Erasmus. He was a good Dutchman. Statue for him in the town of Rotterdam, because he came from Rotterdam. And I remember my dad telling me, looking, you know, a little boy going to Rotterdam. My dad was from Rotterdam, saying, "Oh, that's it. Who's that? You know, Dad, that's Erasmus. You know, you see him standing there with that book. When he hears the clock strike, he will turn over the page in the book." And there's a little boy standing there watching. Of course, he never turned the page because he has no ears to hear. But you know, it took me a while to learn that. My dad taught me some of these lessons. But Erasmus once told a mythical story. It's not a true story, which I'm sure you realize as you hear it. But he told a story which was designed to emphasize how important it is that we as Christians take the words of Christ in John 20, 21, "As my Father sent me, even so send I you," that we take these words seriously. The story goes like this. After his ascension into heaven, the angels surrounded Jesus and they began to ask him about his work on earth. And Jesus told them about his birth. He told them about his life on earth. He told them about his preaching. He told them about the miracles that he performed. He told them about his death. He told them about his resurrection. He told them how he had accomplished the salvation of the whole world. And according to this mythical story then, the angel Gabriel asked, "Well, now that you're back in heaven, who will continue your work on earth?" And Jesus said, "While I was on earth, I gathered a group of people around me who believed in me and who loved me. They will continue to spread the gospel." Gabriel was perplexed. "You mean Peter, who denied you three times? And all the rest who ran away when you were crucified? You mean to tell me that you left them to carry on your work? And what will you do if this plan does not work?" And Jesus said, "I have no other plan." No other plan. Truly, Jesus has no other plan than to depend on the efforts of his followers, you and me. He has ascended into heaven. And while we eagerly wait for his return to earth, let us be busy for the Master. Read his word. Pray. Worship. Witness for him. And fellowship with other believers. And let us, like the disciples, continually praise and bless the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we have read into thy word that the Lord Jesus was carried up into heaven, and he is there to prepare a place for believers, to intercede on our behalf. And Lord, like the disciples, may we be filled with great joy as we know that Jesus is coming again. And Father, as we wait for him to come again, may we be busy doing our Lord's business. May we remember the words of our Savior, "As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." And so, Lord, may we take that message of the Lord Jesus Christ to people here in Perth and ultimately to the ends of the earth.